performed by Toxibla Hilbert, daughter of Louise and Charlie Anderson, from the Upper Skagit tribe, which is near Cedar Willy, near the Skagit River. The cedar and the salmon. People in our culture, the salmon were people. Each species was known to come and go at certain times, and they were honored for the lives that they gave to my people for sustenance. And they were honored in song and prayer, and they were spoken to as if they were going to understand everything that was said to them, because everything that has life also has spirit. So we speak to the spirit of each of these things. We speak to the spirit of the salmon. We speak to the spirit of the tree. And we know that these things are understood because we're speaking to the spirit. We're not speaking to the thing itself. Because the tree is wood. It has life. Every part of the tree is valued, from the root to the bark, to the way a cedar gives its life and can be split up to create many, many things. So we knew how to use each of these things and to not waste them. The things that were given to us were not wasted. That's what I grew up knowing about, and I still see that surviving. That lesson continues to be taught, that you don't waste, you respect and use the things that are gifted to us by our Creator. Each gender had responsibility. The woman, if she had been properly taught, knew how to handle everything that was in her domain to take care of. And she was taught this by her women family members so that they could be proud of her when she married and went to another family. She was taught never to be lazy, to always be industrious, and to continue to learn how to do new things. And you knew, you'd been taught from day one about how your people took care of food. You learned from many other people how they were taught to take care of food and to prepare it, to serve it, to enjoy it. Yeah, but the woman knew what her place was, and she could also go out and help the man in the food gathering if there was a scarcity of food, and she was needed to go out and do what a man usually did. So she was not above doing man's work too. That was expected of her. The stronger the woman, the more she was respected. The more industrious she was, the more she was honored. And the man was expected to be a good provider, to be a good hunter, to know the land, to know where to find things on the land, or to find things in the mountains. And the families went as a group to pick berries in the mountains, to pick berries in special burying patches, and the woman had to know how to preserve those things, but the man had to know how to protect the family as they went out to do this, because they were in competition with some of the animals. The bear was fiercely going to guard his source of berry fields. So the father was there to make sure that the family was protected from the animals who needed food also. But the man was the hunter. The man was a provider of game. And either men or women knew how to fish for salmon. They knew where were the best places and knew how to catch fish in different ways, in the creeks, in the rivers, in the deep eddies, in murky, muddy water. They knew how to find and catch those salmon wherever they happened to be hiding. My grandfather, my dad's father, was an expert at that and taught my dad all the skills of knowing the river and knowing how to use the river in every way. So I had lots of respect for my dad's knowledge of the water. It was wonderful to see him understand how the water worked and how to use each body of water, the still water, the rough water, the quiet still water. I watched him read the river, read where the deep eddies were, because he could tell where the deep eddies might hold a special group of salmon. And he could spear them without seeing. He knew where they were. And also where there was a big log jam, and there was a particular way the water gathered around a log jam. He knew how to walk out on that log jam and find a salmon in the deep eddies that were created by the log jam. So I watched him do that as I was a child and I was allowed to travel with him. It was always a great joy to me to watch him at work and to know that I had to learn how to be very quiet, very still, never to jiggle the canoe, never to move, but to sit quietly and listen and observe. So that was part of my teaching, to learn how to be still, to learn how to listen. So you know, it was a beautiful childhood, and I still appreciate that I was raised, given lessons of that kind, the patience that it takes to wait for things to happen. That's why I guess I have a lot of patience. My dad's father had a longhouse on the Skagit River banks, and along with several other leading medicine men who also had longhouses. They were there always. They were made of cedar planks that had been taken from trees that had fallen and could be split into planks. So these plank houses had removable roofs made of the shakes from the cedar. So these were the long houses that held five or six or seven families, as many families as could live in an 80-foot, 80-90-foot, 120-foot longhouse. And people lived together and partitioned for privacy with cattail mat partitions or woven partitions of some kind, so they weren't soundproof. But people learned to live together in communal kind of living, and they cooked together and ate together. And then there were times when it would be food gathering time, then they had temporary homes that could be constructed on the spot. And they would carry that material with them, cattail mats or woven pieces of wall, so to speak, and and they could use cedar branches for their floor, cedar branches to help ward off the rain. And they knew how to construct things from the materials that the Creator made available to them to use. So there were temporary homes, and there were movable homes. So for berry picking, for salmon gathering, or just for fellowship. Sometimes people love to be together. So they would know that people were all gathering at a certain place, here or there or somewhere else. They'd load everything into one or two canoes and move themselves so they could be with other people to prepare for winter and preserve the food that was available in different places. They would go to the mountains for berries. They would go to the ocean for seafood. And they would go out into the meadows for roots and things that were available that they had been taught over the centuries to use. So it was a very sophisticated society that my people were a part of, because they knew how to use the land. They knew what was available for medicine, for food, for health, for sedatives, because there were no drug stores. They had to know how to use the things that were a part of the gift from the land. And they had known this for centuries, because this is all there was. And they communicated that information from one generation to another. Oh, the seasons.
Yeah.
Well, there was a time for everything. In the summertime, of course, with harvesting of food, there was also a time for fellowship, the kind of fellowship that was fun, that could be enjoyed in weather that was warm and comfortable to use. So people would gather to play games together, to have a fellowship that was separate from work. They combined work with fun always. A little bit of work, a little bit of fun. But they used the summer months mainly for the berrying and for the specific salmon that were running during the summer months. They knew they knew the food cycles of everything that was usable for us. And these food cycles were important to be completely aware of. And then in the winter months, because you had already prepared for the winter months, then you had plenty of food, and you had always a supply of wood available to you, because you would have gathered fir bark, which was our coal, if you will. Fir bark was very thick and would burn for a long time and give lots of heat. So we knew all the wood that was available for use. We used the downfalls, the trees that had fallen because of age or that wind had blown them down. We used those, and if there were no trees down, then we found a way to fall the trees without hurting another tree. They're very skilled woodsmen. I watched how they would decide which way a tree would fall so that it wouldn't hurt another tree and make as little damage as possible, because people knew how to get it to go where they wanted it to go. So the seasons were utilized for the gifts that the seasons gave us. And then when the weather was quite miserable, cold and snowy and icy, then the people would gather in the longhouses and be warm and well fed, because they had prepared for that time. This was a time then for our spiritual practices, that was honored among all of our people. They were given ways to understand how to contact the spirit and knew that because everything that had life also had spirit, they were given this knowledge and taught how to use that spirit possession in the proper way and how not to use it in an improper way. And the consequences if you use it improperly and how you respected the gifts from the spirit and you honored these gifts in a way that would enrich the spirit and thus enrich yourself. I watched this because I was born in 1918 and there was a lot of it still going on. And I was taught to sit quietly and listen and never disturb other people who were the ones who were practicing the spirituality of all of our people. Yeah, I was taught proper conduct at all times. Even though I was an only child, the rules were very strict for me to conduct myself so that I would always be above reproach, so I would never ever bring shame on any of my people by doing something that was not proper. And to this day, I abide by those teachings, never to bring shame on the people that gave me life. Rivers are our highways, and we had to be familiar with where the river started and ended, and how the current of the rivers and the tides could help us to go where we needed to go. Without maps, we knew how to find our way everywhere that was important for us to be. And the canoes were built for a specific water. Canoes were built for quiet water, for lake water, for river water, for salt water. So the people were so intelligent that they knew what was right for each place. And from experience over the hundreds and hundreds of years that they had to do this, using primitive tools that they had learned to create for this work, I watched my dad carve canoes. He carved river canoes, he carved race canoes, and he carved little hunting canoes. He did not carve seagoing canoes. That was a job for somebody else, because my dad was a river man, not a saltwater man. My mother's people were saltwater people, so she knew how to deal with the saltwater better than my dad did. Her grandmother had raised her on salt water. My dad was raised on river. The simplest things were used by the first psychiatrists of this land, our medicine men. They realized how important acknowledgement was. If a person was to rise to the highest goal that their families expected them to practice, if their deeds and accomplishments went unnoticed, why should they try? Why should they do anything? Nobody paid any attention to that anyway. Our medicine men knew that this was very important. If you could see somebody doing a great, great piece of work at great hardship to themselves, then you pointed that out and you paid attention in public to what a great thing you had just seen accomplished by this person, by that person. And what a wonderful job this person was able to do because somebody had taught them how to use their hands and their mind and their eyes and in a good way. And they would give credit then to the teacher and to the student. That way everyone was acknowledged as having had a part in this great work that was being done because this person had been able to learn about what was important. So this is acknowledgement. It's medicine used by the greatest of our medicine men, because if you sit in a room full of people and you go unnoticed forever, why should you come to be with any of the people who are there? Nobody knows that you're there. Nobody cares that you're there. So why should you be there to learn anything? So that person might have a medicine man sense the sadness in your heart that nobody ever pays any attention to. Nobody ever notices that you even exist. But the moment a medicine man points out to the house full of people that you are there and you have been seen to do this, do this, do this, do this, then you have been acknowledged for the gifts that you yourself have given. And then you are known. Then you feel good about who you are because somebody has paid attention to what you do and who you are. Acknowledgement is the best medicine that could ever, ever be practiced. Spirits exist wherever there is life. Water is alive. The river is alive. The rocks on a river bed, the sand along the banks of a river. Everything that's contained in a river has life. And because it has life, it also has spirit. I have repeated that several times. If it has life, it also has spirit. My people know this. And when they are sent for spiritual help, they know that if they are successful, they will be recognized by the spirits that are part of the water, a part of the rocks, a part of the movement, a part of anything that lives and breathes with the water. So these are things that our people have always been taught in a very subtle form, never in the words that I'm using to talk to you who hasn't had the advantage of being taught from birth that these things exist and can be used. For instance, the subtlety of information that is known to us is so abstract sometime that the abstractness gets lost to people who don't have minds, who are able to accommodate the abstract. Do you know that sound is a spirit? The sound of something happening is a spirit. Too abstract for most of our minds to accept. The sound of two trees rubbing together are a spirit. Too abstract for us to really accept as a source of spirit. The sound of a hurricane. These things are part of the abstractness of the culture. The most valuable thing I know of to do during my lifetime is to try to find some way to help my people. And because how do I know what kind of help they need? I know because I watch them. I listen to them. So I know that they are lacking in lots and lots of information because they haven't had time to live the culture as I have lived it. Unfortunately, I have observed that my young people feel that just because they are members of the Longhouse Winter Spiritual Gatherings, that that's all they need to know to honor the culture. And I know that that is not true. I know it's important to honor the spiritual practices of my people, but that's only a very small portion of it. If they are to take their proper place in the culture, then that's a foundation that they, in the old days, that came as a stepping stone to the education that they would need help receiving. So if indeed that is true, and that by becoming members of the winter spiritual season, that has taught them the discipline that's needed in order to learn about the importance of all facets of your culture, then and how to find that information is a job that their spiritual help will help them to attain. In the old days, spiritual help was a gift that you have earned in order to make your life better, to make your life stronger, to allow you to live honorably in this world because you have the help of the Spirit. So this is what the young people have mistaken as the entire thing. It's just a part of it. It's a stepping stone to becoming educated. It's a degree, a college degree, if you will. It's not a graduate degree, it's a college degree. So then to become a doctor in the culture, I'll be doing things to try to help my people maintain their culture, maintain the knowledge of their culture, and for those who have time, to let them listen to their language and listen to their stories and know that if they will really want to learn, they can learn from the first textbooks that were prepared by our people, and those were the stories, the literature of the culture is where everything is maintained, the history, the humor, the philosophy, the teachings are in the legends, in the old stories that were left by my people.